WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. In a couple of hours, the first night of a curfew lifts in a small portion of downtown L.A., where anti-ICE raid protesters have been demonstrating. CBS News L.A.'s Tom Waite was there when the new restriction kicked in.
Officers giving orders down here, telling people to leave, giving them a little bit of grace here. Even though the curfew is technically in effect, people are still being allowed to leave without being arrested.
President Trump's restoring Confederate names, including Robert E. Lee's, to some U.S. military bases.
We won a lot of battles out of those forts. It's no time to change. And I'm superstitious, you know, I like to keep it going, right?
Search crews on the case after hikers in Washington State say they may have spotted the father wanted in the murders of his three young daughters. Cairo TV's Brooke Griffin.
They say that person was acting suspicious, and then whenever the authorities tried to fly a helicopter over the lone hiker, that person then ran from them.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The race for governor in Wisconsin for 2026 is currently up in the air. Joanne Krulatz reports.
A breakdown in negotiations over a tax cut and other spending measures in Wisconsin threatens to put the 2026 race for governor on hold, with the Democratic incumbent saying he won't announce his decision on seeking a third term in the swing state until after a budget deal is done. Governor Tony Evers and Republicans who control the legislature have been meeting in private since April, trying to hammer out a deal ahead of the July 1st deadline. But those talks broke down late Wednesday. Wisconsin is poised to be in the national political spotlight again next year with the race for governor and a fight over control of the legislature.
And Dugan has raised a lot of dollars. Stuart J. Waddles tells us more about the fundraising efforts for a Milwaukee County judge.
With her July 21st trial approaching, Judge Hannah Dugan's legal team has raised nearly $138,000 from thousands of small donors. That's according to JS Online. Dugan is charged with concealing an individual to prevent arrest and obstruction. Prosecutors say she helped a man avoid immigration agents in her courthouse by escorting him out of a back door. Her attorneys have asked for charges to be thrown out, arguing she acted within her official judicial capacity.
Federal prosecutors on Monday argued for charges to proceed. And a pair of Northwest Wisconsin Republican lawmakers were seeking co-sponsors for a bill that would establish a new dairy farm innovation program, who say it would help small and medium family farms through a no-interest loan program. And milk producers with between 50 and 714 cows and no environmental enforcement actions against them in the past 5 years are eligible. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Packers minicamp continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Day two of the Packers minicamp, GM Brian Gutekunst spoke to reporters on the practice field, saying although the team held firm on their offer to Jaire Alexander, the two sides met in person on Sunday before the decision to release him.
Well, I think we wanted to give it as much time as, again, he's a really good player. And, you know, I think as he came in, had really good conversations with him on Sunday, and I just kind of felt this was what was best.
Baseball, the Brewers and Braves series wrapping up today. The crew with a 4-1 win last night over Atlanta, thanks to home runs by Jake Bowers and Jackson Churio on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Churio into center, well struck, it is back and it is gone!
Manager Pat Murphy.
A lot of good performances, great to see Churio. William Contreras was great on both ends. Bowers hit the big homer.
In golf, Peyton Albers of Wanakee, the winner of the Division I Boys State High School Golf Tournament. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly cloudy with more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Our high right around 75 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers, low of 52. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms with some locally heavy rain and a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Matt Nair on Air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, it'll be this week's edition of Broad Appeal. I'll be talking with Tanya Atkinson, president of Planned Parenthood Advocates Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, June 11th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the app, social media, podcast, however you do it. Thanks for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. What do you like on your pancakes? And I know that, you know, yesterday we talked about having, you know, maple syrup in your coffee. Parker Olson's here in Madison as well. Who is it that had maple syrup in their coffee yesterday? There's our pop quiz from yesterday.
Was it Dan Hagen?
Yes, it was. It was Dan Hagen's dad, yeah, who put maple syrup in his coffee. Or maybe he did.
I thought it was him. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. Anyway, so the question is, what do you like on your pancakes? Well, take maple syrup off. That's like the default answer. I'm thinking more like this morning, I made them with blueberries for Sherry, strawberries for me. I also like chocolate chips when I'm doing chocolate chip waffles. I call them, when I do the chocolate chips in my waffles, they're called Chippa waffles. See what I did? Anyway, chocolate chips and pancakes as well. Thank you. Delayed. I'll take it. That's fine.
That's working.
Then there's people, I know people that put peanut butter on their pancakes. So what about you? Are you just straight up maple syrup or what?
Usually just maple syrup. Chocolate chips, definitely number one. Peanut butter, I don't know if I've had that before, but I know I would like it. Like, that just sounds great.
Yes. Let's see. Tony says maple syrup, raspberries, and also Alicia's dad and Dan.
There you go.
So there you go. Anyway, not that he's saying put Alicia's dad and Dan on your pancakes. It's two.
That'd be a weird pancake.
Yeah, it would. So anyway, having had a wonderful hot breakfast of fruity pancakes, we're ready to get on with our day here. How does Parker Olson start his day way before the crack of dawn? Because I know you drink water.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are you going to tell me next? That you have a granola bar or something for breakfast or anything at all?
I wish it was that good. I don't eat anything for breakfast usually.
Nothing for breakfast.
It's pretty rare.
What do you do after the show? Do you go get like a late breakfast?
No, I usually around, I don't know, maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock, I'll have lunch.
Okay.
That's about where I'm at now. Yeah.
All right. Well, now that I know you're still relatively new there at the top of State Street in Madison, but do you have a favorite lunch place yet?
Oh, I've only gone out for lunch, actually, I think once. I usually just pack like a turkey and cheese sandwich and call it good.
A turkey and cheese sandwich.
Oh, yeah. I'm a simple man, Pat. I'm a very simple man.
A bottle of water and a turkey and cheese sandwich.
Yep.
And yes, kids, his skin is as white as it sounds by that menu of turkey and cheese and coffee.
Yes, I am.
Borderline translucent over here, but we'll work on it. We'll work on it. Coming up on the program today, if you're hearing a sputtering sound, it's coming from Republicans who are stammering about how their big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill doesn't actually cut Medicaid benefits to deserving Americans, when it actually does, bigly. In fact, we need to correct our record from yesterday on just how much will be cut from the stable, affordable health care coverage that millions of working families rely on for security. Yesterday, while talking about it, I didn't grab the right word, and I talked about Republicans wanting to cut $600 million from Medicaid. It wasn't that. It was $600 billion over the next 10 years is going to be cut. By the way, saw a great video clip from Congressman Tom Tiffany here up north that he put out on YouTube in the past day or two. A fact check on all the things about Medicaid cuts. I'm going to be fact checking the fact check in the next couple of days here. You're going to want to stick around for that. We're going to talk to a Madison area chef later this hour about why so many small business owners want the legislature to knock off its attempt to kill a working program that makes childcare more affordable. And ask again, what is it that Republicans have against affordable childcare in this state? We will again this hour torture our poor Wisconsin Rapids friend, Melissa Kay, about her quest for a new pigeon, complete with new jingle and everything. In our second hour, it is always harder to defend yourself when you can't see your attacker. And that is certainly the case for public schools and a lack of transparency about the voucher program. Because without that transparency, taxpayers aren't able to see how much of their money is being siphoned away to vouchers for well-off families to send their kids to private schools. So we will talk about that issue, the state budget debate, and other end-of-the-school-year issues with Brent Bergstrom, president of the Green Bay Education Association, and Jeremy Traynor, president of the Eau Claire Association of Educators. And in our climate check segment in our third hour, Melissa Baldoff talks about Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy's war on pollution controls for automobiles. Again, I feel compelled to read that again. Sean Duffy's war on pollution controls for automobiles. She also has some opinions on that new Dan Schaefer column. Remember how much we were teasing it yesterday? Yeah, it came out yesterday afternoon, and it has generated as much conversation as I thought that it would, where Dan Schaefer in his column calls on Governor Tony Evers not to run for a third term, lays out all the reasons why he thinks that Governor Evers has been an amazing governor, good for the state, but shouldn't run for a third term. Melissa Baldoff, a former advisor to Governor Tony Evers, has some thoughts on the column. We'll also check in with Civic Media's Earl Ingram, Todd Alba, James Kelly, so much more along the way as well, plus our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. But you can send us a text right now, 855-75-CIVIC. Use that Civic Media app to text us that way, or put something in the comment sections on Facebook or YouTube. That would be the Up North News Facebook page or the Up North News YouTube page, or the Civic Media Facebook page and the Civic Media YouTube page. So Tony says, what are your thoughts on that column, Pat? Look at Tony stirring the pot nice and early this on this wonderful day. And look at Parker laughing at Tony about that. Look at that. He's a pot stirrer. It's what he does. It's what he does best. Yeah. So much like the race for Democratic chair this weekend coming up in Wisconsin Dells, I'm going to play the role that I've always played as a TV anchor, as a humble facilitator of discussion, and let people, you know, comment on both sides of it. I haven't, you know, taken sides in the DPW chairs race. Those are three very good quality candidates. I have excellent things to say about all of them. And there's definitely points to be made on both sides of the question of whether Governor Evers should run again. I will say, let me put this out for fodder here, because I'm in the minority on what Joe Biden should have done last year, and I'm sticking to it. I understand that most people disagree with me, but just so you know where I'm coming from on this, I don't think Joe Biden should have stepped down from the ticket. And I hear all kinds of people right now saying, great, well, you know, the Republicans would have like 60 senators right now and all that. I'm not necessarily sure about that. I think Joe Biden and his team screwed up how to move forward. I think Joe Biden should have basically embraced his age and run with it and said, yeah, I'm an old man. I cannot run a 40-yard dash right now. There's a lot of things I can't do. But look at this team I've surrounded myself with, and look at the legislation that I've passed. I'm the manager of this team. Vote for this team. Or here's what Donald Trump would put together. I think if he'd have gone with a team strategy that would have looked more at that cast of characters that Donald Trump has put together, that Joe Biden probably could have done better than a lot of people are giving him credit for. That said, I don't begrudge his decision to leave. I just think, again, that was handled poorly. If he was ever going to not run, and he should not have run, but he should have made that decision a lot earlier, like Labor Day of 2023, so that you could have an actual Democratic primary. But when you get to this point in the calendar, I mean, you're in and you find the right strategy to go forward. But he made the decision he made. Kamala Harris, much like Hillary Clinton, both women far more capable, far more responsible, far more qualified to be president, frankly, far more qualified to be American citizens than Donald J. Trump ever could hope to be. But you don't take it on who's most qualified. You take it on who runs the best campaign, who runs the most negative ads versus positive ads, and who can fool enough people enough of the times to get the votes. And Donald Trump's been able to do that when he's run against these two different women, not against Joe Biden, which, again, says a lot about our political system today and how we have to do our messaging and how we have to stop letting the bullies win. And how do you counter that? So all of that comes into play when you look ahead at questions like, you know, Governor Tony Evers and whether he runs on his record and says, again, look at what I stand for. Look at the team I've put together. Again, I'm not here to run a 100-yard dash for you. Or if he says, hey, I've accomplished a lot. I think it's time for other folks to give it a go. Democrats had a very shallow bench in the last decade after all kinds of folks, present company included, were bounced from office. The bench was real thin. It has built up really nicely right now. So if the governor decides not to run for a third term, there are plenty of people who will be ready to step into the fray and again make the case of who actually is backing Wisconsin families, who's actually backing Wisconsin businesses, who actually wants affordable health care in the state, who actually wants to have broadband extended all across the state, who actually wants middle-class taxes to be affordable, and who doesn't. Who's been an impediment to all of those things? I think Governor Evers or any Democratic candidate can make that case next year. But first, we have to take care of the parlor game, which is, will he or won't he? And so Governor Evers says once the budget is done, that's when he's going to make a decision and announce it. And so we will have to wait until then. But it's not going to stop people from talking about it at the convention this weekend in Wisconsin Dells. And Dan Schaefer's column, as I predicted, was just the chum to throw in the water, if you will, to get everybody swarming and talking. I think nobody really wanted to get into it one way or the other, depending on how you feel about it. And Dan has essentially given everybody permission to go ahead, share your feelings, because you know what? When it's all said and done, let's say it's half the people. Half the people, you know, on one side of that question or not, are going to turn out to be having chosen the wrong side. And they're going to have to, you know, make that decision to say, okay, that didn't go how I wanted it to go. But, you know, all hands on deck, full speed ahead. Because if not, you end up with whoever wins the Republican nomination for governor next year. You end up with Robin Voss being the most powerful person in Wisconsin. Right now, he's the most powerful Republican in Wisconsin. He's got far more power than, you know, Ron Johnson or anybody else. But he's got a governor that serves as a check and balance on him. Do you want Robin Voss to be the most powerful man in Wisconsin? That is truly what's on the ballot next year, if you think about it. In sports at 6:19, Jackson Churio and Jake Bowers hit home runs, and pitcher Quinn Priester struck out 7 in 6 strong innings as the Milwaukee Brewers beat the Atlanta Braves 4-1 on Tuesday night. And Trevor McGill, here's a nice surprise. He pitched the 9th and got his 13th save in 15 tries. They will do this one more time this afternoon at 12:35. is when the pregame will start across several Civic Media stations. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn much more. We'll check Brittany Merlot's state forecast in just a bit as well. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunian.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Pop
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a highly controversial action, President Trump is testing the reach of his powers by sending 4,700 military personnel into Los Angeles to suppress protests. What are Title 10, the Insurrection Act, and the Posse Comitatus Act? The Posse Comitatus Act forbids the use of the military to enforce laws against U.S. citizens under ordinary situations, but there are extremely rare exceptions. In his mobilization of the California National Guard and active duty Marines, Trump invoked Title 10, a statute enabling the U.S. Armed Forces. Section 251 says, whenever there is an insurrection in any state against its government, the president may, upon the request of its legislature or of its governor if the legislature cannot be convened, call into federal service such of the militia of the other states in the number requested by that state and use such of the armed forces as he considers necessary to suppress the insurrection. No such request was made by state officials. Under the Insurrection Act, the American Constitution Center notes three circumstances where a president may use the military on U.S. soil: when a local official asks for assistance, when an insurrection against the federal government or judiciary occurs, or when a state refuses to uphold civil rights. What constitutes an insurrection? That will likely be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, I really got going with that last question there, so I forgot to get to things like, oh, I know, Brittany Merlot's forecast. She says multiple systems are lined up and headed toward Wisconsin with many rounds of rain and thunderstorms expected over the next few days. So it's dry pretty much everywhere now, but at least in the northern two-thirds of Wisconsin, don't get used to it. The state forecast for today, partly sunny and warm. Chances for light rain, especially in central Wisconsin. Highs today will range from the mid-70s up north to the low 80s in the southern part of the state. A northwest wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Showers and storms arriving tonight, starting in west central Wisconsin, moving to southeast Wisconsin. Lows tonight in the upper 40s up north, the upper 50s in the southern part of the state, and a north wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. And Brittany will join us coming up in our next hour with more about the rain and the temperature changes ahead. Here's our daily reminder to get our newsletters, plural. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and sign up for those. We've got a new weekly sports newsletter on Saturdays from Christina Laurie. And, of course, we've got my Sunday morning one as well. In today's newsletter, again, she talks about our ongoing pledge drive. We do that once every quarter and invite folks to support us. You can always click support at the top of our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. She also talks about a website that provides what they advertise as progressive shopping brands. And we get this a lot when we're talking about certain businesses and other people will chime in and say, well, I don't support that business because they support Republican candidates or something like that. And that is entirely fair. And that is a decision somebody can make if they want to. I don't have any problem with that. What this website's doing is saying, well, rather than, you know, businesses you don't care to support, what about the ones where there is a track record of supporting progressive causes or candidates? And it, again, goes through all the contribution records. These are national brands, by the way. And says, you know, instead of saying it, say this hotel chain, consider this hotel chain instead. So there's a link to that in today's newsletter. There's an article about Swedish pancakes, like the kind you get at Al Johnson's in Sister Bay up in Dora County. The pancake that's made lighter and fluffier by using less flour, more eggs, and of course, butter. And then finally, one that I think we'll have to save for another time, Parker, but we'll get into it. We get into it every so often. Where is the Midwest?
Oh,
in other words, who is not the Midwest? And you start with this big old map.
Yep.
I'm going to take out the easy ones on either side. Montana?
Yep.
No, you are not in the Midwest.
Correct.
Pennsylvania? No.
No.
You are not in the Midwest. But then you start getting toward, you know, Ohio and the Dakotas. And, you know, people go, well, is that the Midwest? Are those the plains? Is the Ohio Valley? And it's the same as what we do when we talk about what's up north.
Yeah. You know? I mean, what is Ohio? And I don't
know. No, seriously,
think,
what is Ohio?
What is, yeah, broadly, what is Ohio? But I don't, Ohio's in that weird spot. Like, you can't call them East Coast. But I don't feel like they're Midwest. I feel wrong calling them such as I.
I know. So there's that in the newsletter today, a bit of a, I think there's a poll in there about where people see all of these various states. Again, get that newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. The Joint Finance Committee of the Wisconsin Legislature was asked to provide an extra way to give better security to judges and courts. And legislative Republicans once again rejected a request to create a law enforcement agency to protect Wisconsin judges, even though the number of threats against judges continues to climb, and despite some high-profile incidents as well, not to mention the execution of a Wisconsin judge back in 2022 by a man he had sentenced to prison a decade earlier. Governor Earl's state budget plan had included a request from the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, that would have expanded the court's marshal's office into a statewide agency with 8 employees to continue to help provide security for justices, for judges, and for the courts as well. Again, there have been many new threats. Democratic Senator Kelda Royce on the Joint Finance Committee says in this Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story, I'm deeply concerned about threats to the judiciary. We have an administration in Washington that is using language and denigrating members of our judiciary that we've really never experienced before in this country. This Supreme Court has made this request over numerous years because they understand better than any of us do what it is like to try to serve the public in this critically important but increasingly dangerous role. And again, Republicans in the Joint Finance Committee decided against that. They did provide some extra funding for courts overall, and that is not nothing. I think there's a debate to be had on what you do with existing law enforcement versus creating a new agency. But in any case, it underscores where we've come in this country at this point, that we have courts and justices that are seeing this continued rise in threats and are asking for help. And they can't get it because at the moment there is a political class in this country that would rather arrest judges and shackle them, parade them in front of cameras and celebrate that, rather than engage in actual law and order. And that's what I would ask again, is who is it that's really for law and order, meaning following and adhering to the law versus disruption and ignoring the law and doing things that are extra legal? Thankfully, it was a mostly quiet night in California last night, but President Trump continues to provoke and try to exacerbate tensions to the point where there's some kind of violence that would justify violence on his part. And none of it has anything to do with actually following the law or immigration crackdowns. It is all about having the appearance of and the tools of an authoritarian strongman. We'll talk to a local chef and small business owner about child care support in Wisconsin next. You're up north.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
No drought in some of the southern plains states have beef producers thinking about rebuilding their herds. Finally. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Dr. Darrell Peel, Oklahoma State University Extension Livestock Specialist, is keeping an eye on the numbers. He says, really, the only data points they've got to go off of are the April cattle on feed report. But he says, with the drought being broken in several areas of the southern plains, beef producers are thinking about holding on to their heifers.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct. You know, producers have been wisely very cautious about this, but with the improvement we've seen in forage conditions in the last 6 weeks or so, producers in the Southern Plains probably are now moving forward. I don't think, again, we're moving dramatically aggressively at this point. I think we're still proceeding relatively modest paced at this point. And of course, we know that there's still a fair amount of drought and drought threats in the northern part of the country, in the Northern Plains in particular. So that's going to limit it on a total basis.
Dr. Darrell Peel, he's a livestock market economist for Oklahoma State University Extension. He says that this is just the beginning of a long process rebuilding the beef herd, but he says it is a sign. Signs in the marketplace on a Wednesday morning point right now to stronger corn, bean, and wheat prices. I've got those numbers next.
The Classic Green Reunion comes to Wisconsin June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. This year's event showcases Model B and industrial tractors, Waterloo Boy engines, and even drills. Come for the tractors and equipment and stay for the tours, vendors, camaraderie, and a good old-fashioned Wisconsin fish fry. To see event details or to register for tours, visit classicgreen.org. The Classic Green Reunion, June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. See you there.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Barrel and block cheese were unchanged yesterday. The AA butter dropped 4.5 cents to 2.50 and a half per pound. This morning, July corn's up 4 right now. December new crop up 3 at 4.43. July beans are up 3. November new crop up 3 at 10.35. July wheat 2 cents stronger right now at 5.37. July class 3 milk that goes into cheese down a nickel, currently 18.47 a hundredweight. Our team is going to be on hand for today's Wisconsin State FFA convention activities. Follow us, Midwest Farm Report, on Facebook. There's your market update. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be partly cloudy with more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Our high right around 75 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers, low of 52. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms with some locally heavy rain and a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's a new way to teach kids math. Maybe Greg and I will learn how to add. Also, Rich Smith from the 6th Street Theater will be here. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Tomorrow on the program, we will have State Senate Democratic Leader Diane Hesselbein. We'll be joined by Sean O'Malley to talk about your money and the markets. We'll talk to Chad Holmes, Sharita Booker, all that and much more ahead tomorrow on these mornings powered by Up North News. Ollie in the Northwoods, I see you up there, and unfortunately our phone system is not quite ready yet to take phone calls once again. So, Ollie, we can see the call coming in, but we can't actually route it, you know, up to on the air, which is why I keep talking about texting all the time. So send us a text, and trust me, when the phone lines are ready to go again, we're going to be pasting that phone number everywhere for people to come in, so I don't have to just listen to myself yapping all the time. And according to the text line, one Luke Mather says that once again, instead of saying Governor Tony Evers, I referred to Governor Earl, Tony Earl, no, Tony Evers. But it's always nice to be reminded just how old I am and how many governors I've seen already. Late yesterday, I talked to Chef Evan Danels from Cadre Restaurant in Madison and Lola's High-Low Lounge. He's been one of the folks with Main Street Alliance who's been especially vocal about ways that politicians could be more helpful to small business, more helpful in leveling the playing field. The classic example that I would give is there's a small business owner that wants to help his employees and provide, say, paid time off. But if his competition across the street doesn't do that, he's at a disadvantage. I mean, he might attract, you know, the better workers, but he's also going to run out of money first, or she, as the case may be. Whereas if you just increased the minimum wage for everybody, or if you had paid family leave for everybody, well, that would be good for all small businesses. A rising tide lifts all boats. That's the kind of arguments that Main Street Alliance makes, and Chef Evan Danels makes those as well, as a restaurant owner and as somebody who has looked at the issue of child care. And we know what a crisis we have right now for affordable child care in this country. And we also know that there's something that would work. There's a tax credit that's there's a tax credit that Republicans have put out there that hasn't worked. And there's something Governor Evers has tried that has worked. It's better to go with the easier, less complex solution, as you'll hear in my conversation here with Chef Evan Danels.
First of all, you've got to back up and get to the root of the issue itself, which is child care issue. Like, child care is not a business issue alone. It's a people issue. It's a society issue. People need child care at almost all walks of life at some point in time in their lives. A lot of people need it in order to have a dual income household, because we all know the single income household essentially doesn't exist at this point, unless you are making a lot of money. So the problem that I have with it is the childcare industry was absolutely gutted by COVID. It was already heading towards broken in a lot of ways in terms of their ability to compensate their employees. But all of a sudden when COVID happened, nobody wanted to take their kids to childcare because everybody was worried about a virus. So people left the industry in mass. And so the federal government and the state government both subsidized sort of their reopening and getting back into the flow of things, which helped bring some people back to the industry. They never reached 100% staffing levels after that. But those subsidies are a necessity in order for them to provide affordable childcare that everyone can have access to, not just people of means. And so we run into this problem where we start to have a debate about what the role of government is in these sorts of businesses. And in my opinion, and in the opinion of a lot of people, the role of government is to essentially set the stage so that people can have a competitive marketplace inside of any given industry, period. And what we have right now is, if there was profit to be had in this, some big business would step in, but they're not. Almost all childcare facilities are small businesses run by people who care genuinely about caring for children. And they're telling you that they can't even pay their employees the lowest wage I've heard of on average of just about any industry inside of the state of Wisconsin, and they need help for it. The Republican answer to that is, oh, well, we'll have the employers give a tax credit to make it more affordable for people to be able to afford their childcare. But the problem with that is twofold. One, you can't have a single thing like that paintbrush across the entire industry. It's not going to work for lots of people. We all know that. The second thing is as employers, we don't want to deal with that. We're happy to pay people and do all our business, but that's just extra complications for our world where we're busy trying to do our business as well. And so from an employer perspective, it's like, we don't want to deal with having to try to navigate with our employees how to utilize the tax credit that we're not even positive will work for them. Because again, if it had worked before, people would have used it. And so we run into this problem, and there are other states that have done this. Like New Mexico subsidized childcare all the way across the state. And right away, like, employment levels went way up as people who were forced to be single income households could become dual income households again.
You did talk to Eric Gunn of the Wisconsin Examiner, and I heartily recommend that to everybody. And you also gave a response as to why a tax credit like this wouldn't work. It can't be evenly applied because, I mean, you gave the illustration just of your full-time employees and whether that tax credit would work, and certainly not work equitably.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't think that it will necessarily. I mean, it's the same general philosophy as running into whether people can write off or they should just take the standard deduction. A lot of the people in a lot of industries aren't really seeing tax returns, and they're living very hand to mouth. And so having the promise of some subsidy at the end of the year doesn't help them get childcare in the moment. And I hate to have this be a partisan issue, but it certainly has become one.
Well, I'm still not sure how it became a partisan issue, because let's backtrack to the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act, before it was derided as Obamacare by Republicans, the idea for the Affordable Care Act actually came from conservatives that said, how about if you make it easier for people to afford private insurance? And so now you have that. And that's the model that has been working, fewer uninsured people all the time. So it seems to make sense you would do the same thing with childcare, make childcare affordable again, and rather than trying these complicated tax credits and everything else. I feel like we know the answer here, and some folks in politics, for whatever reason, just don't want to acknowledge it.
Yeah, and it becomes the same problem of the sort of juxtaposition of, if people can't afford childcare, they eventually go broke, and then they need to be on state voucher care, and then they become a burden of the state. But we have to look at childcare the same way. If people's income levels drop below, then all of a sudden they're on voucher care because they're not paying for their own insurance anymore. They're on food stamps because they have to be, because they had to try to pay for childcare. Like, all these additional costs put people in a system where they end up costing a lot more money than if they were out contributing and generating more tax revenue in the first place. And this isn't complicated math, but you would really hope at the end of the day, the one thing that wouldn't be partisan would be, you know, feeding and providing shelter for children during the course of a day. But as we saw with trying to get free unlimited meals to kids in schools, we do this interesting job where we're requiring children to be in a facility from ages 5 to 18, but we don't do anything. And that's paid for by taxpayer money. That's called school. But we don't provide school for 0 through 4. And it doesn't make any sense. There, so many mothers are on Badger Care. Their child is on Badger Care right after they give birth for the first year of their life. Then they've got to go figure out some way to upend their lives to take care of their children for the next 4 years before they're mandated to be in school by the state again. So we should just take care of that all the way through. And as an employer, I don't mind paying additional taxes to know that it's taking care of children. I don't want to navigate an unproven, untested theory about how a tax credit's going to somehow make it affordable for my employees, because I'll have to deal with the consequences of it if it doesn't work.
We're talking to Chef Evan Danels from Cadre Restaurant in Madison about child care and tax credits versus direct support through the Child Care Counts program. And again, much like the Affordable Care Act or health care overall, I keep coming back to this one notion that we always heard from small businesses back then as well. We don't want to be in the healthcare business. And I heard you say earlier, you don't really want to be in the child care business. So instead of tax credits, help the people who are most in need so that you can get back to focusing on widgets, or in your case, running a restaurant, mm-hmm. rather than seeing if your employees can jump all the right hoops for people to get a tax credit.
Well, and even better, do that through the child care facilities themselves. Why are you making the employer have to deal with this when the one thing that all these people have in common is they're wanting access to childcare? Channel that money through the childcare facilities. They're already heavily regulated. They're already monitored. There's a lot less of a chance that it's going to be abused. It's going to go to the right people, and it's going to give people more childcare.
Chef Evan Danels, thank you so much for joining us and talking from a small business standpoint about the impact of this very important issue. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks again for having me, Pat.
It was really nice to get a chance to talk to him, taking time for, I'm sure you heard all the restaurant work going on in the background there at Cadre Restaurant in Madison. He also has Lola's Hilo Lounge. And as I was talking to him, I was looking at the Instagram page for Lola's in Madison as well. And this is where Parker comes into the equation, because in the Lola's Instagram feed, at a Mallards game, in the back scoreboard there, it says, free spicy popcorn at Lola's with your Mallards tickets.
Yeah.
I asked him about that. He said, we can't even keep that. That spicy popcorn has become so popular.
That's a really good deal. The Mallards have definitely got something going there. They do, I think, Culver's free custard if the Mallards score like 5 runs in an inning, too.
Oh, yeah. I love all those things, you know, whether it's Eau Claire Express up here or wherever. And again, you get small business involved, or, you know, small mid-sized businesses, and, you know, reward people for getting off their duff, get out of the couch, get out of the house and go to a game like this. Everything has to be Brewers, Packers, Badgers. Go to some of these smaller teams and take in a game there.
Yeah.
How often do you work all the Mallards games?
I work usually Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because, you know, Mallards games are usually at night, and okay. I get up at 4 o'clock for the show, so, yeah.
Okay, I understand, okay. It's an adjustment, trust me, the early alarms here. Reminder that coming up later this evening on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba will be our own Christina Laurie, who puts together the newsletter for Up North News. So she'll be joining Pete during the 7 o'clock hour, and you can always subscribe to her newsletter and mine at upnorthnewswi.com. Also ahead, we're still going to have our Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Again, we do a different keyword each, 4 times a day, and then you use your app to text that into us. And if, you know, we draw yours that hour, you get that hour's prize, which might be $100. It might be Brewers tickets. And then you're in the running for one of the grand prizes, a weekend stay in Door County or in the Wisconsin Dells area, and some gas money to get there as well. So, again, that's the Scani Summer Text to Win contest coming up. Parker, when Aaron Rodgers had his welcome or initial press conference with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he talked about, being back in football is good for my soul. Did you catch the other little nugget that he dropped out there?
The married thing?
The thing where he got married a couple of months ago.
Yeah. That was the most Aaron Rodgers thing I think I've ever heard.
By the way, I got married. I don't even know who. Because honestly, I haven't cared enough to look at the coverage.
No.
But, you know, he's... And I say all this, I mean, I wish him well, but I also feel like we've simply set the stage for, you know, the next big celebrity breakup out there. Today's history lesson is next, as we always do, with Melissa Kay. Mornings Up North and live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey.
as Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Summer,
summer, summer. It's our Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
It smells terrible.
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Melissa Kay is here for today's history lesson. It's a couple skate only right now, everybody, for Graham Russell and Russell Hitchcock and Air Supply. Graham Russell has a birthday today. He turned 75, and Russell Hitchcock, the other half of the duo, turns 76 this weekend. So they've known each other going way back. And I mentioned, of course, last year taking Sherry has always been an Air Supply fan and taking her to see Air Supply in Milwaukee last year. And they're still touring 50 years later. They're
really?
Still out and about. They really are.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
That's a long time to do that.
I know. But they look like they're still having fun. You know, cash the checks. Here's Melissa Kay from 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI. How are you, Melissa?
Good morning. I'm really excited.
You are?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me get through the history lesson first, and then we'll get to the stuff to be excited about. Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones, Tyrion, he is 56 years old today.
Really?
The late Vince Lombardi was born this day in 1913. And a bittersweet reminder, again, that he passed away in 1970 at the very young age of 57. And you got
cancer, right?
Guys, you got to get those prostates checked. You really do. Let's get back to the music here and go to 1991. and the release of this version of Now That We Found Love by Heavy D and the Boys.
I know this is what you were listening to all the time, Pat.
Yes. Yes.
And again, this is his workout song.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It actually was. Back in the days when I did this thing called working out, yes, it was on there. This song peaked at number 11 back in 1991. On this day in 1770, British explorer Captain James Cook ran aground on the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, technically making him the first tourist, but certainly not the last, to damage the reef. Let's see. Donnie Van Zandt is 73 years old today from 38 Special. Donnie Van Zandt was the middle of three sons. His older brother, Ronnie, was the original lead singer for Lynyrd Skynyrd, who died in that plane crash in 1977. His younger brother, Johnny, had been lead singer for Lynyrd Skynyrd since 1987. And, of course, Donnie there with 38 Special is 73 today. The number one song this week in 1966 was by the Rolling Stones. You know what? You know, it's a really nice coincidence here. This, too, was on my workout tape, my running tape, when I used to run. This was on my running playlist as well. I mean, listen, can't you just run to that?
You could. Yeah. The very, very beginning sounds a little like a medieval minstrel.
It definitely, you know, keeps the beat going. And apparently we've got agreement from Tony on YouTube. Paint It Black is one of the best songs ever. So yeah. There you go.
I give it
up. That was 1966. How about we go to 1977, when the number one song was by Casey and the Sunshine Band. American Idol premiered on this date in 2002. And one last quick note here. Ferris Bueller's Day Off hit theaters this week in 1986. Here's a little clip of Matthew Broderick leading a parade through downtown Chicago, lip-syncing to the Beatles. Parker, you're not that young. You've seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I have seen it. It has been a long time, so don't quiz me about the movie at all.
I will not.
However,
I
have seen it.
Okay. And
you skip school, right? That's
yeah, that's the only way to watch it. Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I know that much.
Melissa, got to put that on your bucket movie list.
I don't have one.
Let's see. Parker's going to take the music out because it's time for the thing that everybody else has been waiting for. We get to Wednesday morning, and people want to know, what's the latest with Melissa Kay in this edition of
Pigeon Quest.
Wow, pre-production.
So much. That's, yeah. It's so perfect.
When we make time.
You have to send that to me. That's adorable.
Oh, thank you. It's we put all the 5 seconds into that. That
yeah.
Oh, it's so great, though. It's perfect.
So what's the latest on Melissa Gets a Pigeon?
I got an email last night at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
From the Pigeon Rescue in Chicago.
Okay.
I have been approved.
Oh, baby.
Look how excited you
are.
She's
confident.
A winner.
They are confident that I am an ideal pigeon home.
Oh, believe me, you
are an ideal
pigeon home. Yes.
they said, thank you so much for sending the photos of the pigeon cage you prepared in your lovely home. They think my home is lovely.
Aww. Your home is lovely. At least what part of it that we can see. You're clearly
so excited, you guys.
I mean, outside the camera range, you might be a full-on hoarder, but no, I think that's a lovely home.
It's a great-looking corner.
That is going to be one lucky pigeon, but yes. We don't know yet if you're going to get your choice of pigeon.
Bell pepper is available.
Bell pepper.
But then so is Princess P, Samothrace, and then she also recommended Paint Bucket, and I'm very curious about Paint Bucket.
Paint Bucket?
Okay. Yes, that's the name of the bird, and named so for the colorful, like, it looked like she walked through under a paintbrush.
Oh, okay.
All right. But yeah, so I have to decide.
On the text line here, Laura from Wisconsin Rapids, I can't wait for the pigeon pick up a road trip story. Yeah. I mean, you have to go get the pigeon, right? They don't deliver it.
I don't want them to ship it. They do ship birds, but that just seems awful. So I'm going to go get it.
No, especially when it comes in a bucket. It's got KFC written on it. It's just so, so tasteless. Melissa Kay, thank you. Oh, we're out of time.
Wow. Wow.
Two or more hours of this to go as we get rolling on another one of these Wednesday mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The first night of a curfew in a small section of Los Angeles has quieted anti-ICE raid demonstrations. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is downtown.
There is a curfew in effect. It remains in effect this morning, and it has been effective. Much calmer overnight than previous nights, the LAPD confirming dozens of people were arrested.
Anti-ICE protests have spread to Denver, Chicago, New York, Atlanta, and Austin, Texas.
Change will only happen when we keep putting pressure on the people in power, the police, ICE, the politicians, everyone.
They observed a minute of silence across Austria, a day after a 21-year-old former student killed 10 people at his old high school before taking his own life. The BBC's Bethany Bell.
People who live in this area have been telling me about their disbelief, that they can't believe something like this could have happened here in this area, which they say is usually so quiet, beautiful, and safe.
No motive yet. CBS News.